This is the official podcast of Divorce Force, the number one free app and website for people affected by divorce. Our host, Gregory Frank, brings you informative, edgy, and emotional episodes covering all aspects of divorce. Stay plugged into this channel as we help you before, during, and after a divorce. And remember, you are not alone. And now, the CEO and co-founder of Divorce Force, Gregory Frank.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Divorce Force podcast. Really excited to talk to everybody today. We have a really great guest panel. We're going to be talking about abusive relationships and how to have the strength to leave them. And we're going to cover a lot of ground. Very honored today to have our two panelists. They come to us from a very diverse background that's going to lend a lot of experience in the answers to the questions that we're going to talk about today. So I'd like to introduce Therese Hinton and Anne Brown to the panel. Therese, why don't you talk to us a little bit about yourself and give our listeners a quick bio?
My name is Therese Shine Hinton, and I was married for 19 years. My marriage had become so abusive that I ended up with a brain hemorrhage, but we did get divorced in 2013. And since that point, I have been speaking with women regarding leaving and rebuilding. And that's what I'm hoping to continue to do here today.
Thank you. Anne?
I'm a psychiatric nurse, clinical specialist, and I got a PhD in addiction. So I have 20, 30 years of working with addictions. And what goes with addictions is a lot of abuse. And started abuse groups back east, and so it's an area that is actually did my thesis on abuse, and it's an area that's underdiagnosed, underreported, and really needs a lot of education and awareness for people.
And that's exactly why we're doing this podcast today. Abuse is very serious. It affects many people, and it can really take its toll, especially during a divorce case. So I want to jump right in here. And again, thank you very much for being here today so our listeners can really receive some great information and hopefully make a change in their lives for the better. Therese, how common would you say abuse is in relationships?
It is so far-reaching that people really don't understand, because to be totally honest with you, the only abuse that I was aware of before my marriage was physical abuse, but the mental and emotional abuse are so well hidden in most cases, because I hid mine for 19 years and no one knew about it until I ended up with an aneurysm and one of my girlfriends came over and she knew exactly what had led me to that point. And that's when she began to open up with me about the abuse that she had suffered. So it is so far reaching. It's just extremely well hidden because people are ashamed.
You're making a very good point, and that is, I feel that when people hear the word abuse, they tend to think physical, and they don't realize that there are mentally abusive relationships, and that can take quite a toll on somebody. Anne, how do you feel? Do you feel that abuse is, mental and physical abuse is very common in relationships, or, how many people does this really affect?
Well, I think just to give you a quick note on the history, abuse was condoned by church and state. We never had laws until the 50s and the 60s. And then we had crazy laws, like police had to witness physical abuse to identify it. And we had laws where father to daughter couldn't sexually abuse, but brother to sister, we didn't have laws. So we didn't have, the culture supported it. So you have a culture that doesn't want to see it, participates in denial, didn't have any legal churches. It was okay. We know that with the Catholic Church. It was condoned by church and state. And when I was first doing my research in child abuse, we were one of the first people, because the laws came in and we were saying, we're probably going to find 70-80% abuse rates in families because there were no laws. So if you look at the history, I tell people, don't be ashamed. Don't be wanting to hide it, because we condoned it. The culture supported it. So yes, it's far reaching. And I think it's more reported with women, but it's prevalent with men, and it exists with physical, emotional, verbal, financial, and sexual. And you're right. that people only think it's physical, but there are five domains where people can be abused.
Speaking of these five domains, Teresa, what would you say are some of the more common types of abuse that occur in marriages?
You know, I have to tell you that in my case, it was mental, emotional, financial, and there was spousal rape. And I think that people overlook that too, because when I discussed the fact that my ex-husband had raped me twice, the first reactions that I've received from several people have been, well, how does your husband rape you? And it's the exact same as it would be if a stranger raped you. If you tell them no, then that means no. And that's exactly, you know, what happened with me. So there, the financial abuse actually went on even after dealing with alimony and that sort of thing. He needed that control, and he continued to try to have it. And he does that even still now. We have a 21-year-old son that we have. He's still in college, and still there is that financial control that he tries to maintain. So the abuse is, like I said, physical, it's mental, emotional, financial. Those are the
and
things
sexual.
That I dealt with. Exactly. Absolutely.
You know, when we talk about, you know, just to jump on your last point there, you know, when people go through a divorce, post-divorce, sometimes we see that when the litigation was really angry at the end of the day, and that couple really, there's no shot of them really getting along or being able to have communication. Having some type of control, it's almost like a win factor for certain people, whether it's one or the other. It doesn't really matter if it's the male or the female, or if it's in the same sex relationship. You know, that's something that's kind of common. So one of the questions that I have, and I think a lot of our listeners, you know, would like to understand, because it may affect them, is why do people stay? You know, and why would somebody stay in an abusive marriage?
Well, you know, there was a fascinating conversation about a recent celebrity who just left a 10-year marriage, and there were a group of women discussing, well, why would she stay? Why would she put up with that? And the answers are, I'm sure Therese can speak to this, but you have financial dependence. You often have social isolation. You're confused and you're frustrated because you're put down. You don't have the self-esteem to think that you can figure out the system, get out there. How are you going to support your children if there are children? And even worse, you get bonded to the batterer, which is one of the toughest things in my field that I have to break, is that how many people want to go back after they've been out for 4 months? They miss them. They want to be back with them. They feel guilty, but the children should see them, the dad. There are all sorts of, and people are born differently. You know, some people don't like to rock the boat. Some people have a huge backbone and they'll say, no way. And retaliation. I mean, these people threaten all the time, and they act on it. They will hit you. They believe they own you. So you're bumping up a core belief of theirs.
You know, that's really, really critical information that you just provided. You know, I feel that people stay in marriages for all sorts of reasons, right? So some of them could be financially related, some of them because they feel that it's the right thing to do for the kids. I hear that all the time. I stayed in my marriage because it's the right thing to do for my children. And what a lot of people don't realize is behind the scenes, there is serious abuse that's taking place. And on the surface, maybe somebody's trying to hide that. They're trying to mask that. But really, behind closed doors, there's a whole other situation that's happening. And for some of our listeners right now that are potentially going through this, I'm sure some of them are saying, well, how do I get out? How do I find the strength to leave? Teresa, what advice would you have for somebody that is currently in an abusive marriage that knows they need to get out, maybe feels that they're handcuffed and they just can't get out? What advice do you have to them?
You know, what I will tell them is that there are two things that I wish that I had thought of. What I wish that I had done was go back to being the person that I was before I married him, because I was extremely independent. I have a degree in management and I am a certificated paralegal. So this is not an education thing. It was never about education. It was never about me not being able to take care of myself. It was the fact that I had been battered down so badly, mentally and emotionally. I did not figure that I could go out on my own. He had convinced me that I would not be able to get another job because I had become a stay-at-home mother. He convinced me that I needed him for money. I needed to get back to who I was before. And that is exactly what I had to do. Even if you were not that person, that super strong person before, you need to understand that you can be that person. You need to understand that it is safer out there than it is inside if you're being abused, period. There is no getting around it. There's just, if now that I'm out of it, I can tell you that looking back on it, I was a complete mess. I know I was. I got counseling from my church because I had to get some sort. I got counseling for myself and for my son. And eventually I did become strong enough to go and become the person that I was before. And I just suggest that if that's not who you were, then that's who you need to become.
Now, did your local church have a program? Was there some type of a support group? Because I think for a lot of people out there that are listening that don't know where to turn, and maybe either they are religious or not religious, I'm sure that there are different opportunities to go out and seek different angles or different opportunities of support. And how do you feel about that? If somebody's in an abusive relationship and they know they need to get out, where can they turn? Where can they go to take that first step?
I usually recommend, just because I'm not sure what the church will say, you know, if you saw the Catholic Church enabled abuse, and I think some churches, depending upon where you are, if they will help you, absolutely go there. But I think Teresa said in the beginning, a friend, I would find out. I think there's a national hotline for abused women. There's groups in your town, Response, or groups who help you. They assign you someone to go to court with you. You need all of the legal help that you can get, and you need people, and these are volunteer people, but you need people who will help you through that process. And then what Therese said is friends. You need your friends to handcuff you when you get out so you don't go back. You need them to remind you of what it was like there. So I would say friends, but if you have a physically abusive place, you really need to get to an organization in your town that is specifically for that. They hide you. They hide you and the children. And then they provide you with the support to go through the process so you don't feel so alone.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think the type of abuse that you're taking is really going to further clarify the answer to that question. So what I mean by that is, if you're in a physically abusive relationship and you're looking to exit that marriage, I think for some of our listeners that are in that position, they may be less likely to talk to a friend about it because they may be concerned that eventually that may make its way back to the abusing spouse. Because if you're going to ask for a divorce, I would think that if you're in an abusive relationship and you're looking to exit that marriage and you go and you ask that person for a divorce, you could put yourself in a very hostile situation.
Yes.
And for somebody that is in that particular circumstance, I think their direction is going to be a little different than somebody that's in a financially abusive or a mentally abusive relationship. So let's look at it from a physical abuse point of view. What are some words of wisdom or some pointers that you would have for somebody that's in a seriously abusive, physically abusive relationship? They want to exit the marriage. Are there certain things that they should do when preparing to file for divorce or when they're looking to tell their spouse that they'd like a divorce? Teresa, do you have any impact on that?
You know, exactly what Ann said. I think that you need to find a shelter or somewhere that you can be safe, because if that person is physically abusive to you, they're going to, if it does not get any worse. And I do have a horrible example of that. I have a girlfriend whose sister-in-law had decided that she was going to go, and she told him, and that next morning he killed her. He stabbed her. I can't even remember how many times. And we kept, you know, there was a point when we were saying, okay, if you're going to tell him, you can't like stay after you tell him, because he's been beating on you. So I remind people that if this is what you're going to do, you need to be away when you do that. And you need to have some other place to stay. You cannot stay there. because it just it almost always turns into a worse situation. There, like Anne said, there are shelters that will hide you, that will take care of you until, you know, things are under control. But you can't, you just can't be there.
That's a great point. You know, when it comes to physical abuse, I think it's very important that if you're in a position where you're being physically abused, that you really need to document it. You need to go to the police. You need to take pictures if you have any marks. You need to document everything because at the end of the day, you know, the law does protect you. There is protection for people that are being abused, and people can be removed from the home. Orders of protection can be put into place. But on the flip side, and I want to let our listeners understand this, there are people. Unfortunately, there are people that go to court and claim physical abuse as a method to remove somebody from the house. And I couldn't make this more clear. For people that do things like that, not only are you taking away the integrity of the system that's meant to provide help and support for people that are being physically abused, but also the judges understand this. And when the truth comes to light, you're going to be put in a very negative position in the court of law. But I just want to let our listeners know that if you are being physically abused and you're looking to exit that marriage, there are legal ways that you can be protected. So you definitely want to reach out to the local authorities for that. And I've got another question for you here. How do I make sure that my spouse doesn't still try to abuse me after the divorce, right? So if I'm finally divorced from somebody and maybe we're still connected because we share a child, or there's money that's still involved, or we live in the same town, is there anything I can do to protect myself going forward?
Well, I think there's, and this is again where the courts haven't caught up. Some courts have, some lawyers have, where, you know, not everybody can do make nice. And most of the courts say, go back and make nice and you two work it out. And you cannot do that when you have a perpetrator, a person who's abusing you. I would also put in right now, if you have someone who hits you, I would never recommend that you tell him or her that you are getting divorced. I would recommend that you get to that shelter and let that system do it for you, because Therese gave a horrific example that we have all heard, because you're taking away the control of the person. There's literature about how to deal with a contentious, narcissistic, abusive partner, and you just have little to no contact, one word answers, you don't assume that you can be together. You hire some people who can help you. You can't share anything about yourself and feel that it's going to be handled safely. You have to know, yes, I'll do this, you do this. You have to give minimal contact and really explicit boundaries, because you've taken away their control and they're very angry. So whatever you give them, and that may be just, you know, the child going back and forth, they're going to use that to try to control you. So you really don't want to give them anything. You want to give them the least amount of information about you, and still keep setting boundaries.
So with that being said, would it be accurate to say that potentially that spouse could see a change in your habits, a change in your behavior? And I preface this by saying, the last thing you want to do is put yourself in a position where you can be harmed, especially when you have children as well. You know, you need to get out of that environment. You need to protect yourself, because if you're thinking that you don't want to leave your home because the court may assign it over to your spouse, or if you're thinking in that direction, that's most likely the opposite of the way that you should be feeling. You should really be concentrating on protecting yourself. Would you agree, Teresa?
Absolutely. Absolutely, because I it wasn't so much physical in the end, but there was still just a horrendous amount of mental and emotional abuse. And it financially, I cannot stress enough how badly things got before I was actually able to get out. So you are absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm. And can you give our listeners some examples, or some of the most popular, if you will, examples of mental abuse and what some of those signs are? Because I think there are people out there that are in a position where they're probably being abused and they may not even realize it.
Exactly. And I, that is so very true. I, both of us were degreed persons, and his degree was in computer science, mine is in business management. And I did not fall up under my degree per se, and he did. And it was just little words here and there. Oh, well, you know, I'm a little bit smarter than you. And, you know, after a while, you hear this enough. And when it came down to money, he was always making 3 and 4 figures. He always made a ton of money. I did not. Then there was the, well, you don't earn as much as I do. Then, you know, it was little things like, well, you know, your family came from here, my family came from there, that sort of thing. He would hold back his affection. He would get angry with me, not speak for 2 or 3 days at a time. And it was over little things, whether or not I cooked the kind of foods that he wanted to eat. It was not like that in the beginning. Then he wouldn't speak, or I would cook and he wouldn't eat. Or it was just continual little things. I mean, he would misplace something, tell me that I did it. I would argue back and say that it wasn't me. Well, you don't remember anything, Tree. It's just that it was that sort of thing that finally it just battered me down. And it started from day one. He got in on my weight because I had picked up some weight shortly after we were married. I was very thin when we were married and when we first got married. And he ended up telling me within, it wasn't a very long time after we had gotten married, he said, well, if you gain any weight, I'm leaving you. And at first I kind of laughed it off, but then I started to gain weight and he stopped being affectionate with me and he didn't want to go anywhere with me. That is the sort of thing that finally got me to the point where I just didn't care what I looked like one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And the emotional roller coaster, because even after we were divorced, he came back and I knew that I had gained a lot of weight and so did everybody else. And he was like, well, I don't care. And I'm like, for 20 years, you told me that you did and now you don't. So it was the mental and emotional roller coaster is what they like to take you on.
I could totally appreciate that for sure. And, you know, as we near the end of this episode, one of the questions that I'd like for you to answer is, I think when people start to listen and educate themselves more on all the different types of abuse that's out there, I think there's a demographic of person that is going to wake up and say, you know what, I'm in a very abusive marriage and I need to exit this marriage and move on with my life. But on the flip side, you know, there are people that cry wolf and they use mental abuse and physical abuse and financial abuse as a tool. They use it as armor when they go to court to try to disparage the other person in the eyes of the court. And if you come from an abused relationship, I think it's going to upset you even more. But for all the listeners that are out there and people that are honestly feeling that they're in an abusive relationship, what words of advice can you give somebody that wants to move on, but yet they keep going back because they're comfortable or they don't want to leave that home or they don't want to lose control of the assets because they're not really sure where those monies really are? You know, there's a lot of people out there that I really think are in that position. What's in closing, what can you tell them? What kind of advice can you give them to help give them the courage and the strength to move on?
Well, I first would tell people to Google the word gaslighting, and you'll find it, and it speaks to what Teresa was just talking about. It's all the withholding, nobody will ever have you, it's rewriting of history, no, it didn't happen that way. And then once you see that, when I'm working and I'm pulling some people right now, helping them get out of abusive relationships right now, and I say to them, the more you talk to me about the fact that you want to go back, the better you're going to do, because you will want to go back because of that bonding. If you don't have the physical abuse, as we addressed, if you have physical abuse, you need to get to an organization that will help you. If you have the financial, the emotional, spiritual, this gaslighting that we're talking about, you need to get friends that you don't have to convince that this is happening. If you want something to help your lawyer understand or the courts understand, records and journals, things he said, things you said. If you have the journals and they don't, it helps you. Now, I hate to give information to people who abuse the system, because nothing makes me angrier than someone who claims that when it's not true. But I think if you start recording this, again, I'm here to tell you, the courts don't, they don't care about emotional abuse in most places. So you need to get out. I recommend you get into groups, any group that will support you building self-esteem. I recommend people build your self-esteem, because once you have boundaries and you have self-esteem, you will look back and say, why did I put up with that? Get friends around you that will get you through that day you think you want to go back. Understand that the world has ups and downs and challenges. And it, because you're in an abusive relationship and it feels familiar, you think you don't have challenges. Well, you have the challenge of the abusive relationship. Wouldn't you rather have a challenge that you work your way through, get to the other side, feel good about yourself? So I think you get on a health program, you exercise, you eat good, you go to things, you meet new people. And the more you build your self-esteem, the more you'll distance yourself from that. And you'll start to recognize it, because it will. And then you have to look and say, you know, am I in an abusive workplace? I have been in an abusive workplace. When you get out, your body changes. You will notice your body, when you're around abuse, it tightens. You get the bad juices going. You're always on eggshells. Just notice the difference so you don't pick another one, because I see people do that over and over again if you don't do the work. Get into a church where you feel like-minded people. You really have to, it's your work once you get out, because the draw to go back is huge.
That's that is unbelievable. You are spot on when you say do the work. You know, you need to do the work. You need to go through a grieving process, a healing process, and you need to understand what to look for. And for everybody that's listening today, you can see that Teresa and Ann really speak from a place of passion. They speak from a place of experience. And the information that was provided today, it could be so impactful for so many people. And, you know, I was on a different side of the equation when it comes to abuse. I was falsely accused of abuse, and that's how I was removed from my marital residence here in New York. As a matter of fact, Divorce Force and some of our partners, we are doing a study right now on how that is used as a mechanism and a tool in the court of law, and how it clogs the system and it takes resources away from people that are truly abused and that truly need the help of the court and the state to help them move on in their life. I want to take this opportunity to really thank both of you for being here today and providing us all this unbelievable information. And for those that are listening, we will be posting in the description of this podcast links so you can follow both Ann and Teresa, and you can take a look at their past experience. And please reach out to them, contact them, ask your questions, and let you all know that we're here for you. And thank you so much for listening today. Teresa, Ann, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the official podcast of Divorce Force with your host, Gregory Frank. Please download the Divorce Force app or visit www.divorceforce.com to register for a free membership today. As a free member, you can learn from others, ask questions, share your experiences, and meet new friends. And remember, you are not alone.